Well, good morning. If you haven't figured out yet, we're going through the book of Exodus. You got that figured out. You may know that we're in chapter 20, going through the Ten Commandments. And if you got that figured out, you might know we're at commandment number 4. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. We'll read our text to begin with. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Just as we begin this, I want you to notice something about this commandment in our text. There are two basic verbs there, or perhaps three commands that is given. The first one is to remember, and the second one is labor, and then the third one is the negative, that do not labor. He says, remember the Sabbath day, but part of this commandment is 6 days you shall labor, and then on the seventh day, do not labor, you nor your manservant, maidservant, son, daughter, etc. Over the course of my life, I have kind of grown up with a certain idea of what this commandment means and how to keep it or how to view it and how to what extent to obey it. So I grew up with a certain idea, and somewhere along the line, I decided, like most people do, or hopefully most people do, is they need to figure some things out for themselves and not just listen to what somebody else tells them all the time. And so I began to think about it and never really sat down in one period of time and satisfied myself that I had exhausted everything about this and what it means and all the pros and cons for the different views and those kinds of things. Always had a question or two in my mind, and still do. In fact, instead of one or two questions, I've got 5 or 6 now. So as I've been studying and thinking about this for the last month or so, my questions have not been erased. They've been multiplied. So I don't know what that tells you, but that's where I'm at. I'm going to take 2 weeks for this message. I've turned over a New Year's leaf on New Year's resolution to make my sermons shorter. So this will be my first opportunity to try that out. But we're going to take 2 weeks to look at the commandments. And the first week, this week, you might think we're never even going to talk about the Sabbath. But I want to talk about some things that some questions have been in my mind for years and get you to thinking about them. Can we do that? All right, let's start. A, units of time. We use several units of time to measure time and to keep time. And I want to give you 3 or 4 here. The first one is a day. How do we determine what a day is? Well, we know that a day is the time that's required for the earth to rotate on its axis one time. Okay, so that's one unit. The next unit is a month. The month is the time required for the moon to to orbit about the Earth one time. Right? Now, that time period varies. We have two things. One is called a synodic month and a sidereal month. And those you can see on the outline there are two different measurements. We're primarily going to be talking about the synodic month, which is 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, 2.8 seconds on the average, because this time period can vary by 7 hours one way or the other. The orbit of the moon is an elliptical orbit about the Earth, and the time there varies. So that's another time usage that we use, a month and a day, and then we use a year. And the time of a year that is required is the time required for the Earth to orbit one time around the sun. And that is 365, I've got on here 0.25 days, it's actually 0.24 days and some other fractions that they have figured out there. But these three things, three periods of time that we use, the day, the month, and the year, are all established and measured by something. And that something being something in space. And the stars, the sun, the moon, it's a measurement, an astronomical measurement. But we have a fourth unit of time that we use, and that's the week. And the week has no ties to any astronomical measurement at all. Where did this measurement that we call a week, which is a period of 7 days, where did it come from? Well, we know that it was established by God. It is not any astronomical measurement. It is a time unit of time that is established by God. Now, I'm going to read you something. This is about 8 pages long. I'm just going to read 2 or 3 paragraphs. But I want you to listen to what this guy says, and you try to judge his thinking. Try to judge his philosophy. Try to judge his beliefs. Okay? He says, units of time can be divided into 2 categories. One category contains the units that measure something objective and observable, typically the movements of astrological objects. So there's your day, your month, and your year. A day, for example, he gives, is the length of time it takes our planet to complete one rotation with respect to the sun. Complete a rotation on its axis. The second category, he says, is much more fun. Now that's kind of odd, right? Totally random, basically meaningless divisions of time that were created out of a combination of superstition, incorrect science, and the need for greater precision in timing. The 7-day week is in the latter category. There's no good reason for it, and yet it's constant to almost every single culture. Imagine that. Okay, that's kind of what I thought when I read it. The name of this article is Why Can't We Get Rid of the 7-Day Week? Okay, so here's this guy's thoughts. He goes on and says, thinkers have tried to oust the 7-Day Week for various philosophical, mathematical, and political reasons. And yet, the blankety-blank thing persists. He goes on and talks about where did this idea of a 7-day week come from. And he says the length of the astrological week was largely a result of the fact that the ancient Babylonian astronomers happened to identify 7 planets. So they want to worship these 7 planets, and actually at the time one of them was the sun. That was one of their 7 things. So they wanted to worship these 7 things, so they declared 7 days that would each one be devoted to one of these gods, planet gods. He says, around the 6th century B.C., so you know what year we're talking about, the Babylonians were a dominant culture in the Near East, and their ideas spread far and wide, including the concept of a seven-day week. The Jews happened to be captives in Babylonia around that time and adopted the week concept. He's a little off there, right? The Jews already knew about the seven-day week. So did the nearby Persians and the not-yet-dominant Greeks. The Jews already agreed with the Babylonians that seven is a very cool number indeed. Creation in the Jewish tradition and Jewish-derived traditions like Christianity took place in 7 days. Though it's worth noting two things. First, nobody's totally sure that the Jewish creation myth actually predates the Babylonian captivity. And second, the days in that case probably translates better to something like periods or intervals. Anyway, the Jews got on board. Are you learning anything? About him, yeah, right. There's nothing in particular, he closes, about a seven-day week that makes it a requirement for anybody to observe it. It seems that the idea took off simply because there was a need for a unit of time somewhere between 5 and 10 days long, and 7 was a cool number. What's surprising is that humans haven't come up with anything better. Sent him an email. Don't remember what I said now. It wasn't mean, but just challenged him a little bit to think about something and just let it go. Now, that is one guy's idea. But the thing that I want to point by that he acknowledges is that this seven-day week thing persists for some reason in the world. It's not just an American thing. It's not just a German thing. And I'm not saying it's common to every culture in every part of the world, but it's there somewhere. And as recent as 1929, the Russians tried to do away with it in their country. They adopted a 5-day week, reset everything to 5 days, and worked 5 days, turned around, start another work, 5 days, 5 days, 5 days. Why do you think that they did that? I don't know, but I would bet somewhere deep inside somebody who was in the decision-making process is this hatred for anything that smells like God. And remember, this is just a few years or decades after the revolution where the I don't know if they were called communists at that time, took over. They tried it for a period of time. It didn't work. They changed it to 6. And finally, they gave up and went back to what everybody else was doing, a 7-day week. You know why they gave up? For some of the same reasons that God told us to have a 7-day week. Their machines